Welcome to the Global Venturing Review podcast. My name's James Mawson, founder and editor-in-chief of our publications Global Corporate Venturing, Global University Venturing, and Global Impact Venturing. Great pleasure to be back this week after an unusual time, I think, for us all around the world, given the coronavirus and various lockdowns. So I'm self-isolating at home after having a few days off last week. And Thierry Hellis is busy focusing on our Oxford spin-outs report that we're preparing, which is going to be super exciting on that side of things. So in terms of thinking about the coronavirus, we actually held a meeting remotely via Zoom with about 34 senior corporate venture executives on the COVID-19 Venture Crisis Forum, which identified the global concern the disease from the coronavirus is causing. Naturally, first thought of the community has been to the human aspects of people falling ill or struggling with the isolation and economic impact that could see massive amounts of global gross domestic product affected and an estimated $4.5 trillion bailout. As one forum participant said, quote, "Our guys believe in a 50% of GDP wipeout scenario. In this case, the question is if the rebound happens in a year or 15 years, end quote. So scary stuff. But it also brought out the corporate venturing industry's desire to see the opportunities and the challenges across three main areas. First, organisation. Experienced corporations with established venture vehicles more than a decade old can still rely on external validation of their units, but also have a past playbook indicating the need to continue their commitments. Creating opportunity funds that third parties could commit to can become possible, given that some pension funds are now saying this is the time to increase allocations to venture capital and private equity. In return, supporting a parent company that might be going through unprecedented supply and demand shocks requires CVCs thinking of their tactical short-term needs while still being aware of longer-term strategic priorities. Corporate venturing through bringing startups and open innovation into an organisation matrix where people have recently moved from a fixed to a growth mindset can be transformational. As one said, quote, "We are actually seeing accelerated engagement by business units. I had as many business units call in the past couple of weeks as I have over the past 3 months. BUs are looking for ventures teams to lead on the innovation front and leverage startups to accelerate some of our technology initiatives. Tons of proactive reach outs," end quote. Second, deal flow and portfolio management. Updating portfolio financing and cash flow plans against those made at the start of the year can help validate why portfolio companies can be supported, with CVCs and other investors sharing their portfolio company support documents. With the end of the first quarter and need to mark to market, the likely valuation decline across larger portfolios will become clear. As another leader said, quote, "To land the message with investment committee that follow-ons, while not contractually committed, are reputationally committed. So while new investments may become more challenged, follow-ons are locked in for us," end quote. Others were less certain, with CVC units expected to take their share of reduced budgets. Another said, quote, "I would not be able to look the board in the eye if I said we should be immune from budget cuts," end quote. Once portfolio companies have been triaged, corporate venturers can also help with their general survival expansion by offering to be customers or suppliers or managing their portfolio company human resources. Looking at past downturns indicated independent VCs might turn more to earlier stage deals, making growth stage investments potentially more challenging, one said. Deal volumes will decline as syndicates prove harder to form, and even if the top 20% of CVCs, those responsible for 80% of activity, remain cash rich in the main. Already, the overall venture industry has broadly halved its deal flow to about 1,250 deals a March, according to the PitchBook. Third, future issues. The openness among governments and stakeholders across all parts of the economy in seeing innovation as part of the solution to the coronavirus opens up corporate venturing to be a figurehead and guide out for others in the crisis, and to limit other outbreaks likely to come as volatility and sustainability become increasingly important watchwords. As one said, quote, "Who would have thought that the European Union would become an investor of this scale? Very interesting times," end quote. As the COVID-19 pandemic continues to build, different parts of public life shut down, and we all retreat indoors, it becomes more important to focus on helping other members of our local communities. But as everyone finds out when they attend a GC event, we're all part of a community of sorts too. In that spirit, GCV has been catching up with a series of key figures in corporate venturing across different sectors, regions, to see how they're coping through a series of public podcasts. So as well as the sort of Chatham House rule meeting that we held on Wednesday, we've been doing some interviews with some key people, and Dominic McGray, head of Swisscom Ventures, which is now focusing itself more intently on domestic deals in Switzerland, was the first off the charts with an interview with Callum Cyrus. The second of our CVC in the time of coronavirus pieces by reporter Liwin Edison Fu has spoken to David Lacey, managing director of Chinese insurer Ping An's $1 billion global Voyager fund. Although it faced COVID-19 first, China appears to be relatively successful in getting it under control. But the fund is still sharing expertise with international portfolio companies to help them weather its effects. Lacey expects large corporate ventures already committed to innovation to remain in space, though younger, more feckless founders may find their high burn rates very dangerous, he warns. And in the third of the corporate venturing series, Lisa Lambert, head of National Grid Partners, has explained how COVID-19 movement restrictions mean that while CVCs can continue to conduct preparation, sealing a deal can be difficult without being able to meet the founders on the ground and see the technology in action. National Grid Partners' key areas of energy technology and IT may not be as vulnerable as some other sectors, but longer sales cycles will hit companies in all sectors, she warns. And for some extra information on the effect of the pandemic, check out the latest GCV webinar by Kalyan Antonov, which covers the industrial sector with representatives from Evonik, Caterpillar and GC's or PTT's corporate venturing unit, which was carried out on Thursday. So plenty of news, plenty of leaders stepping up to share insights and make sure the community as a whole comes out of this as well as it can. But obviously we're mindful that within units, within families, within sort of portfolio companies and wider society, we've seen a lot of people affected both in their health and in their jobs. And in general, this is putting a strain on a lot of people. So be kind out there and stay safe. On the big three news stories of the week, in what may be an ominous sign, electric scooter rental service Lime is reportedly in talks to raise funding at a $400 million valuation, a steep fall from its last round just over a year ago when it secured $310 million in a Series D round featuring Alphabet that valued it at $2.4 billion. The company has secured $777 million altogether, but the COVID-19 pandemic has led it to suspend operations in every market outside South Korea, and it reportedly only has enough cash to last for the next few months on its current burn rate. Others are in the same boat, on the same scooter, if the analogy is better. But as a wise entrepreneur said in our coronavirus meeting via Zoom this week, quote, great ideas will always survive. Spend every VC dollar if it's your last one you will raise, and if you are at the growth stage, reimagine yourself as being back at the seed stage, and get back to innovation rather than scale and repeat, end quote. Which is a sort of powerful three tips there, I think, for a lot of portfolio companies and entrepreneurs, and the ones that we're taking on ourselves as a small business. But really just shows that people have been through similar sort of challenges, whether it's this or whether it's the global financial crisis, .com, the Asia crisis, SARS, over the past 25 years. We've seen a great number of these types of financial and economic worries, either in specific markets. But this is probably the first, which is probably hitting most sectors and most people really hard. So that's the first big story. Corporate venturing has always been a more collaborative part of financial services. And so it's been heartening to have so many leaders step up to share the insights, as I mentioned in the podcast or in the meetings or just generally helping their portfolio companies and parent companies in this. And while attention is currently focused on the fear part of the cycle concerning how deep the economic and health impact will be, there are opportunities starting to emerge. And being the newly appointed head of a unit is able to put in place a structure and team to seize them can therefore be an advantage. One that Timiko Moore Love will hopefully experience as a new boss at energy utility Entergy's corporate venture capital vehicle in Texas in America. Moore Love has just joined Entergy as managing director and co-founder of Entergy Strategic Ventures after 5.5 years with US-based healthcare provider Mayo Clinic, where she had been seen internally as a rising star. Previous boss, James Rogers, chairman of the Department of Business Development at Mayo Clinic, had nominated her for the 2017 GCV Rising Stars Award and said at the time, quote, Timiko Love would be great as a GCV Rising Stars. She was, at that time, relatively new to Mayo and previously invested while at Best Buy Capital. She has made a great impact at her time on the Rochester campus. Rogers continues, we recently moved her to Arizona and she's heading up our activities in the Southwest. She leads our accelerator activities and is responsible for our Benefactor Innovation Fund, which allows us to fund clinical trials in exchange for equity, end quote. And she has continued to capture people's attention since then. Getting through the early days could be the hardest task for Morlove. The disruption in the energy and utility sector could be wide-ranging, spurred by the oil price crash, electrification and renewables in addition to the current crisis on demand. According to the Energy Information Administration, US general energy use breaks down as industrial for 32%, transportation 29%, commercial 18%, residential 20%. And if this isolation goes on for 3 months, it could lead to significantly less energy use in the first three sectors, cutting by as much as half, according to estimates by James Conker in the Forbes. This will lower energy use by about 15 quadrillion BTUs, which, given the average cost of a million BTU is about $25, could mean not spending close to $400 billion on energy in the US in only 3 months as a result of the crisis, which certainly puts it into context. And it would take heroic amounts of Netflix binge-watching to move the needle, given data centres and server farms account for approximately 2% of total energy use in America. And this is just one of 10 main sectors, all of which are facing upheaval in their core businesses through digitalisation and innovation, along with further supply and demand shocks from the coronavirus and the staffing impacts from people working from home, becoming ill or caring for relatives and others. So on slightly hopefully better news, we have perfect timing as I'm preparing a feature on the 5G telecoms sort of technology for our April issue of Global Corporate Venture, and has seen Qualcomm Ventures exit the Firmed Networks portfolio company, a startup that has created a fully virtualized cloud native mobile network. Microsoft plans to incorporate the firm's technology into its Azure cloud and help the 5G develop. But there are bigger issues in 5G, given China-US relations and coronavirus affecting supply chains for Apple's planned 5G iPhone. So people with insights in this technology and areas do reach out over the weekend and early next week. As I finish off the feature, it'd be good to get your thoughts on this. But it's still a good exit at a challenging time in the global economy for US-based mobile networking service firm Networks, which a year ago had raised $38 million in the funding round, including Qualcomm Ventures. Round was read by a couple of VCs, but Vodafone Ventures and T-Ventures, respective corporate venturing units of Vodafone and Deutsche Telekom, previously took part in a firm's $51 million Series C round in 2013. Charles River Ventures, a VC firm, had actually incubated firm when it emerged from stealth with a $52 million round in 2012, because Hassam Ahmed had created the idea behind the firm when he was working out of CRV's office in Boston in 2009 as an executive in residence. When Hassan joined the firm, he was already the most successful CRV entrepreneur of all time, having run engineering at Cascade Communications, which was sold to Ascend for more than $3 billion in 1997, and then subsequently running Sonus Networks, a communication company that had gone public in 2000. Hassan certainly has the magic touch. Majorly stayed at the firm for 9 years before handing over the reins as CEO last year, and his three companies will generate more than $1 billion in returns for CRV, making him the most successful entrepreneur in the firm's 50-year history. But for Qualcomm, it's a timely validation for its own 5G investment strategy, having said in October it would invest up to $200 million in 5G-related technology developers through the newly minted 5G Ecosystem Fund. So congratulations to Quinn Lee, Carlos Cochran and Alexandra Vieira over at Qualcomm Ventures for this great exit. So nice to have some good positive news there. So on to news in brief. So on funds, we've seen a couple of announcements. We've had China-based company mobile game publisher Kunlun Tech, which is one of two cornerstone investors for a $424 million vehicle called Kunlun Beijing Internet Intelligent Industry Investment Fund. Crikey, that will back internet and AI technology developments. Kunlun is putting up $140 million for the fund, while subsidiary Xinyu Xinwei Weizhou Investment Management will act as general partner. Shortly after the news emerged that Kunlun Tech was partnering on the fund, two more Chinese corporations, Yeizhu Group and People's Insurance Company of China, have announced they established an industry investment fund the same size and will focus on technology developers in China's Greater Bay Area. And that follows a $1 billion Taiping insurance-backed fund targeted in the same region in January. Slightly smaller, we've seen Dating.com commit $50 million to meeting startups. The online dating group plans to invest up to $5 million at seed to Series B stage through a strategic fund that's already made its first deal. And Afterpay has unveiled its AP Ventures fund. The corporate has a 44% stake in growth equity fund AP Ventures, which plans to invest more than $30 million in a total of five or six portfolio companies. On to exits outside of The greater affirmed exit, we'll likely see more mergers than straight exits. We see mobile commerce platform Letgo and OfferUp set to merge in deal accompanied by a $120 million round led by classified listings manager OLX, part of Naspers process subsidiary. The deal will give OLX a 40% stake in the combined business. First invested in Letgo in 2015, and they disclosed $975 million in funding prior to the round. Apparently, the groups have been talks about a merger for a while, but the coronavirus has kind of forced their hands and got over some of the hurdles. Similarly, we've seen FuboTV fused with Facebank, online streaming service FuboTV, which has raised nearly $150 million from investors, including Sky, AMC, Discovery, Univision, and 21st Century Fox, set to merge with Facebank. Checkmark has ticked the acquisition box. Salesforce is set to exit cybersecurity producer Checkmarks after Hellman and Freeman agreed to acquire a majority share at a $1.15 billion valuation. So a good one for Salesforce again, which has just been on a tear in the past decade. But as we say, the coronavirus is likely to whack a number of other portfolio companies. OneWeb is examining bankruptcy possibilities. The satellite internet system developers are having cash flow issues, having previously secured more than $3.4 billion from a consortium of corporates, including SoftBank and Qualcomm. And North Wearables is seeking direction to buyers. North Wearables, the Intel and Amazon-backed augmented reality glasses developer, formerly known as Thalmic Labs, has raised $170 million over 8 years, but could run out of cash within 4 months. On to deals. We're still seeing some pretty big deals and general activity, even if it's a little bit quieter in terms of the volume of deals. We mentioned in big news that ride-hailing services were among those likely to be hit by COVID-19 social isolation measures, particularly with Lime, but China's Didi Xuxing looks like it could be first off the mark to raise money to support it out. It is reportedly lining up $300 million in rounds set to be led by SoftBank at a time when its home country is beginning to ease travel restrictions. Didi was valued at $62 billion as of July investment by Toyota. It's going to be interesting to see if any valuation information leaks out once the deal closes. Assume not. Data mining software provider Mining Lamp has secured $300 million in the Series E round, co-led by Tencent and state-owned investment firms Temasek, that included another corporate, Kuaishou. The company, whose business model is similar to Palantir's in the US, has now raised more than $785 million altogether, and the capital will be used to support research and development, recruitment and development of an intelligent marketing software platform. Vertical takeoff and landing vehicle development Lilium has closed more than $240 million in a round led by Tencent again. The round was made up entirely of existing investors and marks a downgrade from the $400 to $500 million target reportedly set late last year. The deal may be emblematic, therefore, what we may be seeing increasingly going forward, existing investors continuing to back portfolio companies while being more conservative when it comes to new bets, and perhaps being more conservative in how much they give those existing portfolio companies. Ping An's Global Voyager Fund, we mentioned before with Don Lacey's sort of podcast, has led a $146 million round for iCapital, a provider of alternative investment management software. The round including strategic investors such as UBS, BNY Mellon, Goldman Sachs, BlackRock and Blackstone. Online used car marketplace Cazoo has raised $117 million in the UK, what represents its fourth round in the space of 18 months. Daily Mail and General Trust DMG Ventures led the round, having backed the startup since its 2018 C round. Calliope, meanwhile, has taken its total funding past $240 million in a $112 million Series C round, featuring existing investors Illumina Ventures and Alexandria Venture Investments. It's concentrated on therapeutics for the gut-brain axis, which will be interesting. We're seeing a lot of these types of medical deals certainly is more popular given coronavirus focusing attention on healthcare. Roche Venture Fund has returned to help Sutrovax, a developer of vaccines for a range of deadly infectious diseases. Well, I wonder how that could be helpful given current situation, which has raised $110 million in its Series D round. And CureFit has cut to a $109 million round. Unilever Ventures returned back a round led by Temasek that expanded the health and wellness services platform to $390 million. Helpful for those at home. And Dragonfly Therapeutics has dragged its financing to $300 million. The Celgene-backed immuno-oncology drug developer has boosted its total in a round of undisclosed size led by Fidelity. And one which is quite a fun one, actually, in some ways. It's certainly a good news story in some ways. Nature's Find, an edible protein developer, formerly known as Sustainable Bioproducts, has rebranded and raised $80 million in Series B round, featuring Danone Manifesto Ventures and Archer Daniel Midland's ADM Ventures unit. It's quite an interesting company. It was actually discovered by sort of NASA when they were researching volcanoes in the Yellowstone Park, and they came across this protein, this bug, basically, that was kind of growing there, and it kind of has all the various different bits of a protein that you would want. So it's quite an interesting sort of discovery in that side of things. But it came out of NASA scientists exploring volcanoes and thinking about future planets and how to live on there. So interesting story, no? And on the global university venturing, we've seen Nurix nab $120 million. UC Berkeley's Nurix Therapeutics will use capital to prepare two protein modulation-based immuno-oncology drugs for the clinic. And Recode has raised $80 million in its Series A round. The University of Texas Southwestern spinout has completed the oversubscribed A round featuring Osage University partners. On the people, we've mentioned about Timiko joining Entergy, but we've also seen former NTU Chief Executive Yui Jim will lead the Singaporean government's deep tech-focused investment unit, SG Innovate, from this May. So congratulations to them, and thanks to everyone, and stay safe, as I say, and let us know how we can help. We're always happy to do so. Be back with Thierry next week. Thanks all.
Global Venturing Review was produced by In Ear Production. You can find out more by going to inearproduction.com.